Well, good morning. Like Josh said, you're stuck with me today, and I apologize for that. Caleb is on vacation and much needed time with family, and he asked me to fill in, and I said no. And then I prayed about it, and I said, okay, I will do that. We'll jump right in. Fear. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger, an anxious concern, reason for alarm, or a profound reverence and awe, especially towards God. And I will tell you, I am standing up here today an example of that definition. I'm scared to be up here. One of my biggest fears in life is public speaking. I do not like doing it. And God's sense of humor said, I'm calling you into the ministry. So I do that all the time. And with the students, it's no problem. I've gotten used to doing that with the students. And so somebody said, well, just act like you're talking to your students. If I do that and I see you sleeping, I will call you out. And if I see you talking, I'll go up and find out what kind of conversation you're having, because it might be better than what I have to say. So I probably should not do that. But public speaking is a fear of mine. I do not like doing it. But God has called me into the ministry, so I do that. Whenever I was in school, I did not take speech class because I did not like talking in front of people. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, and Gage said that, sorry, I said I wouldn't call you out, but I just did. But Gage said he does not mind talking in class if it's not an assignment, you know, just sitting around. He doesn't care if everybody hears him in class. But if it's time for an assignment, he has to get up in front of everybody. He doesn't want to do that. And I said, that's me. I'm exactly like that. I was loud and obnoxious in school. And if you don't believe me, I was. And my youth pastor is actually here today that I had growing up. He can tell you I was loud and obnoxious at church as well. My parents are here, and they can tell you that I'm still loud and obnoxious. But speaking in front of people is just something that I do not like to do. I remember the first time I was called on to pray out loud in church. I was 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. And it was during the invitation, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you're going to be asked to close out the service in prayer. And immediately I got this sick feeling in my stomach, and I thought, no, please, please don't do that. And then all of a sudden I heard the words from the pulpit, Tyson, would you please close us in prayer? And I said, okay. And so I started praying. And through the prayer, I was thinking, okay, this isn't too bad. I'm almost done. That wasn't too bad. And then I said, amen. Voice cracked big time. And all my friends sitting beside me were kind of laughing. But you know what? It didn't kill me. I'm still here. I think about that. You know, we say often that, oh, I was scared to death. There's nobody in this room that's ever been scared to death, just so you know. Let that sink in. You might get that here in a minute. But I am also an example of that definition of fear, because in spite of my fear of standing and talking in public, I respect God enough that if he asks me to do this, I'm going to do it whether I want to or not, because that's what we're supposed to do. It's obedience. Proper fear is good. It can cause us to make wiser decisions. And some of you that are pilots in the room, you know more about this than I do. But a pilot does an inspection of their plane before they fly. And they hunt for anything that could potentially be wrong. And if they find something wrong, they fix it or get it fixed. The reason why is because their fear of what could happen if they do not do that. So their fear of what could happen actually in that situation caused them to make a wise decision. But improper fear is bad. It can be paralyzing. It can lead to bad decisions. This summer, some of you know that we had a tree fall in our house in that storm that hit on Easter night. And that was not scary, to tell you the truth. Bree and I were looking, literally had the front door open, looking out the front door, and could not see this tree that fell 5 feet in front of us and landed on the house. It was raining that hard. We could not see it. That didn't scare us. But because of that, everything that was in Kylie's toy room, which hit her toy room, it was not her bedroom, so she was not in there, all her toys and everything were stored out in the garage. So I was out mowing, and as I was mowing, just a thought popped in my head. When is the last time you checked the oil in the mower? And I thought, I don't know. So I jumped off the mower and I checked it, and it was a little bit low, and I thought, I'm not going to chance it. So I thought I was just going to run and get me some oil real quick. And so Kylie was there, and Bree was at work. And so I told Kylie, I said, I'm going to shut the garage door. I'm going to lock up the house. You can go ahead and look for your toys that you're wanting out of the garage. That's fine. And I'll be back in 10 minutes. I was just running to Dollar General. And I live right there by the bridge, so it's not that far. So I come back, and I open the garage door, and I just grab the oil, and I walk over to the mower that's on the other side of the house and put some oil in. And as I'm walking back to the house, I hear Kylie crying and say, Dad. I was like, okay, what's this? Because I saw her standing there whenever I got home. Her back was to me. And I walked up and I said, what's wrong? She said, there's a wasp on me. I said, no, there's not. And I walked up and checked her, and there wasn't a wasp on her. And so she was okay after that, after I assured her. I said, how long have you been standing here? She said, since you closed the door when you left. So she was standing there for 10 or 15 minutes, paralyzed in fear because of something that she thought was on her, but was not on her. You know, and so fear can be paralyzing. It keeps us from doing things that we know we should do or we want to do. As we study Scripture, we'll find out that fear is a proper and a needed response towards God. When we fear the Lord, we will serve Him. In Deuteronomy 10:20 says, you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him, and by His name you shall swear. Also, when we fear the Lord, we will seek wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The word translated fear in these passages comes from two different Hebrew words. The Deuteronomy passage is yare, and the Proverbs passage is yirah, but they both have the same meaning. It is an awe and a reverence, a respect towards God, but it is also fear and trembling before God. You see, the proper fear to have towards God is both. We should fear Him because of who He is, but we should also respect Him because of who He is. Fear shows respect towards God in two ways. Being in awe of who He is. This passage is after Jesus had healed the paralyzed man. This is in Luke chapter 5:26, and it's not on the screens because I added this after Debbie had made the screens. But Luke 5:26 says, and amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe or fear, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. So a paralyzed person was healed, and they were full of awe because of what they had saw. You know, I got to thinking about that. Actually, last night as I was going to bed, I was looking over my notes. I have a good friend of mine. Her name is Lisa, used to be a Warwick. It's Lisa Price now. And back when we were in high school, she was paralyzed in a sledding accident. And actually, it was on New Year's Eve, now that I think about it. And we used to always have a party at the fitness center in Miami. And we got word that Lisa was sledding on the chat pile. She fell in a hole, broke her neck. And she is now a quadriplegic. But, you know, I used to pray every day for years that God would heal her, that she would be able to walk again. She was very, very active, very athletic. She was a lifeguard, and she was just full of life. And I would always pray that God would heal her. And one day I told her that, and she looked at me, and she goes, why? She said, God has me where He wants me. He's not surprised by my condition. He uses me the way I am, and one day in heaven, I'm going to be able to run and jump, and it's no big deal. Don't worry about me. So I quit praying for healing at that point, but I got to thinking about this. What if I was to all of a sudden walk up to Lisa, and she's able to get up out of her wheelchair and walk? What kind of an amazement would be in my mind? Just seeing somebody who has been paralyzed for, it's been almost 30 years now, 27, 8 years, something like that now, to all of a sudden get up and walk. That would be an amazing thing. And that's what these people experienced. Here's this paralyzed man. Jesus heals him, and they were filled with awe. But it also shows respect in being frightened by who He is. We see that after Jesus cast out the demons, cast them into the pigs, they ran off the cliff. This is in Mark chapter 5, verse 15. It says, and they came to Jesus and saw a demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. I mean, let that one sink in for a minute. Jesus healed him. He cast the demons out, and they were afraid after that. See, they didn't look at him in awe and respect, and I'm not saying that wasn't there, but that actual translation says that they were afraid. They were frightened by what they had seen. You know, they saw the power of what he was able to do, and that was frightening to them. My dog, Bella, I love my dog. She's kind of a good example, I guess, of having this proper idea of fear. You know, whenever I am gone, she will wait by the door for me. And it kind of drives Bree crazy because she doesn't do that as much for Bree. But I can literally walk out the door into the garage for 3 seconds and come back in, and she's sitting there by the door waiting on me to come back in, usually whining or whimpering or something like that. If she's in the backyard and I pull in the front yard, she will be at that door wanting Bree to let her in so that she can come and see me. And she'll jump up on me, and I'll pet her for a second, and she's fine. So she has a fear. She has an awe and a respect, I guess you could say, for who I am. But she also has a fear of who I am, because if she does something that she's not supposed to do and I have to get onto her and I raise my voice, she will tuck her tail and she'll slowly come back to me because she knows she's in trouble. So my dog has a proper fear of me. She respects me, but she also fears me because of who I am. That was just the introduction. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, even though it scares me to death. I guess not literally, but it scares me. But Father, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that as I speak, Lord, that your words would be what comes out of my mouth. Lord, do not let me say anything that is not of you. And Lord, let your words, let your truth sink into our hearts. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 14. You can go ahead and turn there if you want. We're going to be looking through 1 through 12 here in a minute. But here is what is going on. This is a familiar passage. I'm sure most of you have read this before. But the children of Israel had been in captive. They've been enslaved in Egypt for years. They were being forced to do labor, and they kept crying out to God, "Would you please deliver us?" And he finally delivered them. You know, and I've thought about that before. It's like, why did they have to cry out for so long before he delivered them? And I got to thinking about it. Sometimes if we're in a bad situation, we want God to help us, but we're not wanting him to help us for the right reason. And so eventually we get to where, okay, my mind's in the right spot, and then that's when he'll step in and help us. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it just popped in my mind, so I had to share that. But we also see that God had raised Moses to lead them out of Egypt into the promised land. They were protected and cared for and led by God in many miraculous ways. And it was now time for them to go to the promised land, which scripture says it was a land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord told Moses to send 12 spies into the land of Canaan to check it out. While they were in the land, they saw that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but they also saw that the land was full of giants or fortified cities, and they were scared of that. And so when they got back and gave the report, 10 of the spies were saying, "We can't go in, we can't take over, it's not going to happen." And so this caused an uprising in the children of Israel. And so that's where we're going to pick up in Numbers 14, verses 1 through 12. Please stand with me as we read. Starting in verse 1, "Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And then they said to one another, 'Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of people of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, 'The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting and all the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. You may be seated. And you know, it goes on, Moses pleads, and God does not wipe them out. But here in a little bit, we're going to see exactly what happened from that. But fear shows a lack of faith in God's ability to do what he says he will do. And in verses 2 and 3, it says, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? So their fear showed a lack of faith in God's ability to deliver them into the promised land like he said he would do. God had proven himself over and over to the Israelites. He had delivered them from their enemies. He had provided for their needs. He gave them manna, all of it they needed. They complained about that. He gave them quail. They complained about that. But he always provided for them. He always delivered them from their enemies. And now they run into this situation, and their fear causes a lack of faith. He can't deliver us from this. Yeah, he's done all the other, but he can't deliver us from this situation. And here's the thing. It's easy for us, from this point of view, to sit back and say, those are a bunch of not-so-smart people. You know, they've seen God do all these things. Why do they have fear now? Why will they not have the faith now? But you know what? You and I would have done the same thing because you and I do the same thing. I mean, think about this. How many of you have seen God do miraculous things in your lives or those around you? Just raise your hand real quick. How many of you have seen that? Okay. Then how many of you, because of your fear, you've doubted that he would bring you through another situation? Raise your hand on that one too. See, we have all done the exact same thing. So we like to point fingers and say, how dare the children of Israel do that? We would have done the same thing. We often fear man more than we fear God. In verses 6 through 10, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we pass through to spy it out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So they feared man more than they feared God. They were trembling in fear before man, but they were not respecting God. So 10 spies saw the stature of the men. They saw the fortified cities, but they also saw all the good stuff, but it brought them to the conclusion, this isn't going to happen. We cannot do this. They were afraid. Here, has your fear ever kept you from doing something because you were afraid of what people might think? It's kept me from doing lots of things that I know that I should have done because I was afraid of what other people would think. You know, going back to high school, why didn't I take speech? Because I didn't want to talk in front of people, because what if I said something stupid? What if I said something wrong? What if I messed up? What if I forgot what I was saying in the middle of it or whatever? I was more afraid of what they would think. You know, I've done that with God too. How many of us have heard or felt the Holy Spirit say, go talk to this person? But yet we didn't because, well, what if they reject? What if they make fun of me? Well, for one, they're not rejecting you. And if they make fun of you, so what? I don't know of anybody who has physically died from being made fun of. It's not going to kill us if people make fun of us. But that fear of what others would think keeps us from doing the things that God wants us to do. Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same thing. They saw the fortified cities. They saw the giants. They saw a land flowing with milk and honey. But they saw it from a different perspective. You see, they had the proper fear of God. They had an awe and a respect of God, and they knew who he was, and they remembered the things that he had delivered them through and from, and they thought, he's delivered us from these. This is no big deal, and he can do that. They had the proper fear. They had the proper perspective. They remembered the things that God had done. John Bloom, he is a staff writer for John Piper's ministry, Desiring God, and he writes, why do we fear others' disapproval so much? We all experience this fear, and most of us don't want to admit how serious its tyranny can be. The Bible calls this the fear of man, and we can weave a web of ambiguity or doubt around issues that are biblically clear. The fear of man can immobilize us when we should take action and gag us into silence when we should speak. It feels powerful, but its power is deceptive. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The Hebrew word here for snare refers to traps hunters use to catch animals or birds. Snares are dangerous. If we get caught, we must do whatever it takes to free ourselves. God has the power to free us, and he wants us living in the safe freedom of trusting him. But he frees us not by removing our fear of disapproval, but transferring it to the right place. And typically, he frees us by helping us face our fears so that they lose their power over us. See, God does not always deliver us from our fears. He does not deliver me from my fear of speaking in front of you. But he uses that, and it's for his glory. And so we need to realize that. We need to quit being so scared of what other people will think and be obedient to what God asks us to do, because he's glorified in that. In our weakness, he is strong. He is glorified whenever we allow him to use us in spite of our fears. Fear causes rebellion. In verse 9, it says, only do not rebel against the Lord. So their fear caused them to rebel. It caused them to not have faith that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, which is deliver them into the promised land. When our fear keeps us from doing what the Lord has asked us to do, we are in rebellion towards God. We don't like to look at it that way, but it's true. If God asked us to do something and our fear keeps us from doing that, that is a form of rebellion in itself, and that is not pleasing to the Lord. Fear causes us to miss out on God's blessings. In verses 22 and 23, there in Numbers 14, it says, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give them, to give to their fathers. And none of those who despised me shall see it. So fear causes us to miss out on God's blessings. Because of their fear, God said, you're not going to get to go into the promised land. Except for two of them. Two of them got to go. But their fear caused disobedience. Disobedience causes us to miss blessings. Surrendering fear and having faith brings blessing. We see in verse 24, it says, but my servant Caleb, because of he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. So when we have that proper fear of God, that brings obedience. It brings blessings. And it doesn't say it in that passage, but we know that Joshua would have been included in that as well because of his faith. If you have some spare time this afternoon, since you don't have church this evening, Deuteronomy 28, it's a chapter full of, here's where you're going to be blessed if you obey the Lord. You're going to see these blessings and these blessings and these blessings. But if you don't, you're going to be cursed in this, you're going to be cursed in that, which means that we're not going to be receiving God's blessings. So fear causes us to miss out on God's blessing, but fear and having faith brings blessings. So how does this apply to us? Well, tomorrow begins a new year. Is there something that God has been asking you to do that you have been too scared to do, that your fear has kept you from doing? Maybe he's asking you to step up and serve him in a new way. Maybe he's asking you to step down from serving him and train somebody else to take your place. That's biblical, as we are supposed to train others to step in and fill our roles. So sometimes that's scary because we don't want to lose what we feel like is our purpose. But maybe God is asking us to step down from things so that others can step up. And we shouldn't be afraid to do that. Maybe as God brings growth here at the church, it scares us because of the change. You know, and that is. You know, I'm one of those that I like to complain when people don't like change. But I don't like change either. I like the change that I want to see, and then I gripe when other people don't want to see that change. I think it'd be fair to say we're all like that. But maybe as God brings growth here, maybe that in itself scares us because of that change. What's it going to mean? How's it going to look? Lots of new people coming in and this and that. That in itself can be scary. Maybe you're facing some life-changing decisions. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's finances. There's some scary decisions that we might be facing in the year to come. Will we surrender that, lay it at his feet, and let him take care of that? Maybe you're not a believer, and your fear is that God could never forgive me for the things I've done. And let me tell you this, you could not be farther from the truth in that. There is nothing we could do that he will not forgive us for. Nothing. I'm kind of proof of that. I'm not going to get into it because there's still stuff my parents don't know, and my parents are here. But my struggle with surrendering to the ministry took 3 years because I was sitting there saying, God, because of my past, how in the world could you use me in ministry? It made no sense to me. And so that fear kept me from surrendering to the ministry. And I remember the day I did, like I said, my youth pastor, Mike Pallas, is here, and he had already, his last day at our church was the day that I graduated high school. I've known Mike since I was 2 or 3. And then literally the day I graduated high school was his last day at the church. So I've known them for a long, long time. And the day that I finally surrendered to the ministry, I was at Falls Creek, not with Mike. He'd already moved on. I was at Falls Creek as a sponsor. And I'd been fighting hard. And I finally surrendered. And Mike is one of the first calls I made. And he said, "Man, I'm not surprised." He said, "I've known for years you were going to do that." But my fear of my past was keeping me from allowing God to use me. So if your fear is that God can't use me because of my past, you can't be farther from the truth. I mean, look at Paul. He killed Christians or had Christians killed. And he wrote most of the New Testament. And just read the Bible. Every person that God used in Scripture was a major mess up. They just did things wrong. Look at David. He had an affair. He committed murder. And the Bible describes him as a man that is after God's own heart. So don't let your fear that God can never forgive you or never use you keep you from surrendering to him. Maybe you're afraid because you don't know where you would spend eternity. You know, that is a fearful thing. Hell is a real place, but so is heaven. And we would love to help you get that right, to help you to see how it is that you would know for sure that you're going to heaven. So here's the question. Will you surrender to your fear, disobey God, miss out on blessings? Or will you surrender your fear to God, obey him, and receive blessings? So that's a choice. Do we continue to surrender to our fear and let our fear win over us? Or do we surrender that fear towards God and let him be glorified, let him use us for his glory? You know, the bumper video, it asked there at the end, what is the benefit of fear? Improper fear has no benefit. In fact, it's dangerous and it causes us to miss out on blessings. But proper fear has eternal benefits. If we have a proper respect, a proper understanding of who God is, it leads us to wisdom. It leads us to salvation that has eternal positive consequences. So the benefit of fear in that aspect, actually both aspects are eternal. Either you're going to surrender to God and spend eternity with him in heaven, or your fear is going to keep you from that, and you're going to spend eternity separated from him in hell. So we can start fresh today. We're getting ready to have our invitation or our time of decision. And this is a time for you to do business with God. I'm going to be down here in front. There'll be others down here in front. And we would love just to pray with you, to talk with you, to encourage you to surrender that fear as you go into a new year, into 2018. It's nothing that we can't all help each other with. There's nothing that could keep God from using you. So are you going to surrender to your fear, or are you going to surrender your fear to God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for who you are. Lord, all aspects of that. Your Bible says that you are a God of wrath, but it also says that you are a God of love. You are a God who is worthy of fear, of us to be trembling before you because of who you are. But you are a God who is so deserving of our all and our respect as well because of who you are. So, Father, as we're here this morning, I ask that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, those who need to surrender their lives to you, Lord, I ask that you would speak to them. And Lord, give them that courage to surrender to you. Father, just give them that courage to change today. Father, for the rest of us, Lord, I pray that you would just help us live for you in 2018 like we have never done before. Lord, help us to whatever it is in our lives that scares us, help us to give that up to you so that you can use us for your kingdom, for your glory. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing.